See you all this morning, and everybody is here, and we're glad to see you. Thank you for coming. It's going to be a little bit different service, as you might already figured out, and I'm going to tell the choir now not to worry about assembling. The song that we had picked out required a lot more voices than we've got today, so we will not try the choir today, and we'll stay with the congregation songs, and Kathy and I will we'll do that. The first one we're going to sing for you this morning, all of us sing together, that is, page 405. Just thought I was going to sing a solo, new. Page 405, Have Faith in God. Let's do 1, 2, and 4 as we stand, please.
Coming this morning. We appreciate all of you that are being here, and very much understand why a lot of others didn't come, but you're here and the Lord's here. And so I think he probably has something special that he'd like to do for each of you as we, not just for you, but for me too, as we worship the Lord together. I'm sure the things that are going on this week will be considered more about later, but do notice and take home your bulletin, cut off the part about the time of refreshing and renewal, and stick that on your refrigerator, because we want to have a special time, a week of celebrating the Lord, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and we spending some time praying. Those nights will be times of prayer. I promise nothing because the Holy Spirit can lead in another way, but right now I'm thinking maybe 5, 10, 15 minutes of teaching and then 30 minutes or more of prayer. We'll see who shows up and we'll go from there. But we're looking forward to that, and I think God has something very special for us at that time. Well, what about prayer requests? You got a long list there as usual. Anybody special you want to add to that list? Now, this is the first time I've heard about it, so.
Yeah, that's right. She said, you know, she came back. She said, I know I only come back two Sundays, but she said, I got sick after that,
I appreciate you sharing that. I appreciate you sharing that. Anyone else? All right. Okay. I'm still sort of shaking my head. Mentioned it to Leonard a few moments ago. You remember a couple of weeks ago I talked about the skies falling. And what have we got? 20 some people in North Carolina with this coronavirus. We've probably got more people with the flu than that in Stanley County. We've got, a couple of hundred people that have died with that in the United States. And what's usually about 30, 40, 60,000 that die with the flu every year in the United States. The sky is falling only because they say it's falling. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't be careful. I keep telling you, be careful. If your bucket list includes going to see the Great Wall of China, probably ought to put that off a couple of weeks. Or if your bucket list includes an audience with the Pope in Rome, you might want to put that off a couple of weeks. Be careful, but don't be fearful. Amen. Been debating all morning whether to share this with you, but I'm going to. Church we attended in Tulsa flowed in the gifts of the Spirit. And a number of times in the 6 years we were there, it was prophesied, foretold, however you want to use the word, that in the last days before Jesus came, there would be these outbreaks of various types of plagues, pandemics, that would scare the world. And the church was going to have to be strong and show forth faith in God to a world that was terrified. Now, sometimes we think, well, we're just human. And we are. We're susceptible to things that others are. But there is a power of God to faith-filled believers that the world doesn't have. A little over 100 years ago, there was a man named John Lake. He was a millionaire back then, 1900. He gave away his money, took his family, went to South Africa as missionaries. They started something over 600 churches while he was there. While he was there, I think it was the bubonic plague, but one of those plagues broke out. And people were dying by the hundreds. And the local authorities in whatever kind of hazmat suits they would have had 100 years ago showed up, and they saw John Lake and the members of his church ministering to the sick and burying the dead, no gloves, no nothing. And they said, "Man, you're going to die." He said, "No, I'm not going to die." "Sure, you're going to die." He said, "No." Whenever a person died, some kind of foam came out of their mouth. And so John says, "Get some of that and put it on a slide under a microscope." They did. And they could look in that microscope and they could see all those little creepy crawlies that were killing people. And John says, "Watch this." He put his finger on the slide and they looked in there and all those creepy crawlies died. They said, "Man, how'd that happen?" And he quoted them Romans 8:2. "The spirit of life in Christ Jesus in me is stronger than the spirit of death." He walked in the miraculous because he knew who he was in Christ. In these last days, we need to learn who we are in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you this morning, thanking you for protection, thanking you for peace, thanking you for your presence, thanking you for who we are in Christ. And Father, we may not be where John Lake was, but help us to grow in that direction. Father, for these that we've mentioned that are sick, that have these special needs, we pray for them, that you might touch their bodies, bring healing, bring strength. Father, for those with the compromised immune systems that are weak, we pray for your protection over them. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. We plead the blood of Jesus over the membership of this church, the protection of the Holy Spirit. Father, today may the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Next song we're going to sing is "Trust and Obey." If you'll notice, we're singing two songs about trusting God, and that's what we need to do through all of this. Depend on Him. And I have a motto that I have had in business for over 50 years, that it's a plaque that I carry with me from office to office. And the plaque just simply says, "God is bigger than any problem that I have." And boy, He sure is. And so that's what we have to do, is trust and obey. And just to know this, that these things too shall pass. And God is bigger than they all. Let's sing "Trust and Obey." Let's do 1, 2, and 4. Page 447. I've got so used now to people reading it on the wall, I don't even give it. 447. "Trust and Obey."
Thank you.
I'll read the pastor selection scripture, and then we'll just pray at the end for the pastor selection committee and some other things, I think. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, brethren, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And both those scriptures fit pretty good with what I want to share. Now you can flip in your Bibles to Acts 4. And we'll get there in a minute. You know, there are doctrinal truths that you learn in the Bible that are of great importance. For example, the virgin birth and the fact that we only go to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are solid doctrine. And we need to learn those things from the Scripture. At the same time, there's some truths in the Scriptures that aren't really doctrine, but they're ideas and practices and directions that can make a big difference in our lives. The kind of things that will be helpful and be blessed. And this morning, I want to look at one of those practical truths. Now, to help you illustrate it a little bit, you ever hear the expression, birds of a feather flock together? At least some of us older folks have. Well, we've got a lot of bird feeders out in the backyard, and I notice you don't usually see just one cardinal. Usually there's several cardinals, or one sparrow, or one wren, but several. In our house, in the mornings and the evenings, a lot of times you see those geese formations flying over. And there's always a good little number of them as they fly over. Now, about once a week, I'll see one goose by itself, and I think, his alarm clock didn't go off this morning. But most of the time, there's groups of geese as they fly. Birds of a feather flock together. You know, when you're in school, you may have the chess club and the debate team and the football team and all these different groups for people that have like-minded ideas and like-minded things that they want to do. Churches, you know, seem to be like that. You know, you go to one church and it's a very liberal church. You drive by another church if they're just getting out and all the women's skirts are on the ground level and they got little buns on their head and everything. You think, well, that's probably a fundamentalist church. Groups are important. Now, in this passage of Scripture that we're going to look at in a minute, the begins in chapter 3. It really begins in chapter 3. And you remember the story. Peter and John are on the way to the temple. They go by the gate that was called the Beautiful Gate. And there's this man that's been lame since he was born. And he's hoping they're going to give him some money. And they tell him, we don't have any money, but what we do have, we're going to give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And they grab his hand and pull him up. And he goes into the temple, jumping and leaping like a guy trying to dunk a basketball. I mean, he's having a big time. I mean, he's never walked in his whole life. And here, all of a sudden, he can walk, he can run, he can jump. Those legs that have been lifeless have suddenly come alive. And he is so excited. Well, the problem is, they did it in the name of Jesus. And the Pharisees and Sadducees, those big shots, they didn't like Jesus. I mean, they killed him just a few weeks before, had him crucified. And then the rumor was going around that he had been resurrected and they couldn't find a body to disprove the resurrection. And you know if they could have found a body and disproved the resurrection, they'd have done it. They couldn't disprove the resurrection. And now here, lo and behold, in the name of Jesus, this miracle's being done. And they're puzzling, what are we going to do? I mean, we can't deny that this guy's now running around the temple all excited. We can't deny that it was done in the name of Jesus. What is going on? And when you get to Acts 4, beginning at verse 18, and they call them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which has been done, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. They said to Peter and John, don't you dare, ever again preach or teach or do any miracles in the name of Jesus. Stop it. We forbid it. Don't do it. If you defy us, you're going to be in bigger trouble than you already are in. So here Peter and John have been commanded to shut up. Then what? Then what? You know, sometimes we get our knuckles wrapped with a ruler. Then what? Well, there's all kind of responses that we see from people around about us. Go off the corner and pout. Go hide in a cave. Complain. Get mad at God for allowing it to happen. I mean, after all, God, I was doing in the name of Jesus. I was doing a miracle. Look at what happened. You know, I'm mad at you, God. There are all kinds of ways they could have responded. And you, as you look around and you think about people that you know that have had difficult walks in life, you think they respond in so many different ways. And all of those reactions could have been normal. But look at what it says in verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. They went to their own company. They didn't go hide in a cave. They didn't go off a corner and pout. They didn't go off somewhere and rant and rave at God. They went looking for fellow believers. Now, folks, there's a secret there. You and I need our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Without our brothers and sisters in the Lord, we're in big trouble. The person that isolates themselves from brothers and sisters in the Lord is sooner or later going to get further and deeper in trouble. They went to their own company. They went to fellow believers. They reported what was going on. Now you see, Paul says something along the same line when he talks about the body of Christ being like the human body. And he says, you know, the hands can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And the feet can't say to the hands, I don't need you. And the eyes and the ears, we all need the whole part. If you had a human body and you can have all kind of a stomach just waiting for food, but if you don't have some hands to put it in your mouth, you're in trouble. There's all kinds of things. We need each other. We need one another in the body of Christ. They went to their own company. Now, we're going to come back to Acts 4 in a minute, but go with me to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Beginning at verse 21. having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. He says, the more and the nearer we come to the coming of Jesus, the more we need one another. The more the world falls apart, the more the trouble is, the more we need one another as believers in Christ. And he says, encourage one another. Provoke. You know, usually we use the idea of provoke. Somebody's provoking me, it means that they're making me angry. But the idea is, encourage people to be a blessing. Encourage people to be faithful. Encourage people to love Jesus. Encourage people to love one another. Paul says the nearer we get to the second coming of Jesus, the more we need one another. Now go back to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Now what were the results when they got back to their own company? I already mentioned verse 23, they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said. They informed others of what was going on. They said, we don't want any misunderstanding. We don't want any gossip. We don't want any hearsay. We don't want any slanted news. Here's what happened. They shared exactly with their brothers and sisters what was going on. And then let's read verse 24 to 28. And when they heard that, they lift up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered against the Lord and against his Christ, for of a truth against thy holy child. Don't want to do like I did the other Wednesday night and let's go too many pages and I'm in a verse y'all not on. When they asked, anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. They worship God. They acknowledge, God, you're on the throne. What'd you just say? God's bigger than any problem I've got? They, you know, they didn't moan and groan and complain. They went with their friends, their fellow believers, and they acknowledge, God, you are God. You are on the throne. Men and rulers may rant and rave and do all kinds of things, but God, you're on the throne. And we need to remember that. The world may rant and rave and make decisions and all kinds of things, but God is on the throne. In the end, God is still God. And you think about rulers of old, Nebuchadnezzar. Man, I'm the big shot. And the word prophecy came, you'll be out there like an animal. And for, 7 years? His hair grew. He ate grass like an animal. His fingernails and toenails grew, and he was a mess. Until he, one day he looked up and said, I get it now. You're God and I'm not. And he became normal again, and his kingdom was restored to him. Think about it. One day every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. They went to their own company, they discussed what had happened, and they worshiped God for being God. And then what? Verse 29 and 30. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Isn't that interesting? They didn't pray for God to protect them. They didn't say, God, you know what they're about to do to me. God, they're going to get us. What cave do we go hide in, God? No, it says they prayed to the Lord and they asked, Lord, demonstrate your power in the church to the world so that you'll get glory. They weren't concerned about what might happen to them. All they wanted was that God to work in them to the world to bring God glory. They worshiped, and then they asked God, come up and show yourself strong. Show yourself powerful. Show the world who you really are. And we're willing to be your instruments for you to do that. Boy, the world's looking for some Christians that know who God is and that they want God to work in them to bless the world. Now, it's so easy to get proud. It's so easy to get proud. Look what I did. No, if anybody got saved, it wasn't Ed, it was Jesus. If anybody got blessed or healed or anything else, it was not Ed, it was Jesus. It's easy to get proud, but they weren't looking for somebody to glorify them. They were looking to glorify the Lord. God, show your power in the church to the world so that Jesus might get glory. Now, boy, that's a great motto to have. God, show your power in the church to the world that Jesus will get the glory. You can't ask for a better motto than that. But then look what happened in verse 31 through the end of the chapter. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. The building went to quaking and quivering and like an earthquake. Where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They didn't go out with fear and trembling. The building shook. The Holy Spirit came and refilled them. Now, you know, it's not been long since the day of Pentecost. Now there's another filling of the Holy Spirit and powerful, powerful witness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said they any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. And they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. And then he goes on to talk about how they gave and they distributed and blessed. The building shook. Holy Spirit filled them. Bold, powerful preaching and witnessing. And they were united in heart and soul so that they gave to the church so that the church could minister to the community. Isn't it interesting? The devil, through the religious leaders, said, shut up.
And instead of going off in a corner and whining, they got together and they began to pray with a desire, Lord, fill us again and afresh and anew and in power, that we might have boldness. And Lord, you just come forth and glorify yourself. And oh, by the way, Lord, anything I have is yours. If I got money, if I got anything else that you can use, Lord, it's yours. Use it for your glory. Now, folks, in these last days before Jesus comes, I pray that you have your own company. Ought to be in your church. But in addition to your church, I pray that you've got some special friends that love Jesus, that you can get together with and pray and seek the face of God. And I pray that you not be intimidated, and that I not be intimidated by a world that hates Jesus, but that we be empowered by his presence and his filling so that he can use us in such a way that he gets the glory. That he gets the glory. Let's pray for a few moments before we go. You pray as the Lord leads you. Father, I pray that we, as believers, the group that's gathered here this morning, not be intimidated by the world, not be shaken by fear, not develop a complaining or a cave mentality. But Lord, I pray that you be glorified. For you are King of kings and Lord of lords, and there is none other but you. There is none other like you. Yes. Father, I thank you that you're so high above all others that they don't even begin to attain your glory and your honor and your power and your wisdom. You alone are God. And Father, I pray that you fill us, that you anoint us, that we be bold in our sharing, in our witness. I pray for great wisdom for our committee as they look for a pastor, great oneness. Father, all that matters is not how many of us are here at Barbie's Grove, but how much we lift you up, how much we honor you, how much we praise you, and how much glory you get in this church. Father, if there's something special you need to do in the heart of any one person that's here this morning, we invite you to come. And Lord, thank you for our own company. Those friends that love you like we love you, that are committed like we're committed, that are strong for us when we're weak, and that we can be strong for them when they're weak. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're always with us. You never leave us, never forsake us. Thank you for the power and the peace you give in troubled times. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're not going to sing an invitation, but would you just stand just a moment, eyes closed, heads bowed. Is there anybody that needs to come and make a decision? Anybody that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Anybody that needs to come to the altar for a moment? Any other decision that you, God would lay on your heart? Give you just a moment here in this silence to respond. Lionel, would you have our benediction?
Living, these times which we see everything before us in an instant.